Hey, well, welcome, guys. If you could turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read the first two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So Paul to Timothy says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So let's begin our time in prayer here. Father, we just thank you so much that we can gather together as brothers in Christ. We thank you for the amazing work that you've done in our lives in and through Christ. And we're grateful for your Spirit's presence with us here tonight. Father, we want to declare our humble dependence upon you as we talk about these important matters, about what it looks like to have Christ-like character, and what it looks like to serve and to lead in the church of which Christ is the head. Father, this is important stuff, and we know that we don't want to take it lightly. And so we want you to be with us. We want you to lead us. We want you to guide us. We want to do all things for the praise of your glory. Lord, I pray that this would be an encouraging time for these men and for all of us as we gather together, that we would strengthen our relationships with one another, that we would grow and learn and how to spur one another on, and that we would all be edified as we engage your word and find out what it looks like to cultivate Christ-like character. So, Father, I pray that you would bless our time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so for those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Vince. I've been an on-staff elder here at Redeeming Grace Church for 25 years, coming on 26. And we are really glad, on behalf of the church here, we're just so glad that you men would take time out of your schedules to be away from your families, for some of you, just to be here tonight and tomorrow and on Saturday to learn and grow together with these other men. We really respect you for doing that. At RGC here, we have 11 elders. We have 5 on-staff elders and 6 non-staff elders. Many of them are going to be here at various points throughout the next few days, sitting in on the sessions, being on panel discussions, sharing the times of food and meals together, just so that we can get to know each other better and spend time with each other, getting to know one another. And we also have guys from New City Fellowship. So would you guys raise your hands? There's 6 of you, right? 2, 4, 5... Isn't there a 6th? Okay, 5 of you guys from New City Fellowship. New City's down in Manassas, and it's a church that's currently looking for a more permanent solution to how they're going to be led as a church. And so we've had the privilege at RGC to go down there several times and preach, and we've just so enjoyed getting to know those folks. And we've known some of them historically because some of them are kids that have been raised in this church, so that's been a lot of fun. But we're so glad that you guys could come and join us. We also have a couple men from Sterling Park Baptist. Right? Yep, Kenneth. And, how do you pronounce your first name? Tarun. Okay, great. And then we also have a friend from New Jerusalem Bible Church. Right? Right. Good to have you with us, John. So glad that you could come. I really want to encourage you, as we have these opportunities to have meals together, as we have the breaks, to get to know each other. One of the things that's really exciting about being in ministry is rubbing shoulders and being alongside other men who are doing the same thing that you're doing. Because the idea is that serving in ministry in a church is sort of different than anything else that you'll ever do. There's dynamics that are involved in that. There are particular challenges and temptations. It's not unique in that other people don't have hard jobs, but there are uniquenesses to being in pastoral ministry or serving in the church in a leadership capacity. And so I just encourage you, let's get to know one another. As I said, we respect the sacrifices that you guys have made to be here. And we believe that it's the local church's responsibility to identify, train, and deploy men who are going to be elders, not only in this church, but on church plants, or men who will be raised up to be pastors in this church or in other churches, or be church planters, missionaries. All these things are things that we want to aspire to as a church. We want to see the gospel go forth, and God's plan is that it goes forth through the church. And so we want to be faithful and dedicated to raising up men, faithful men, who can be entrusted with the gospel, who will teach other men, who will teach others also. And that's really what we want to do, and that's at the heart of why we're putting on this seminar. So if you could pull out your notebooks. Everybody got your notebook out? Everybody have one of those? A couple things. There are name tags in all of those for you. There's also a table tag, so that way I can see what your name is if I'm not familiar with your first name. Did you guys get the link about the survey? Okay, if you haven't filled out the survey, it really would actually serve me if you could fill it out tonight when you get home, or at a break here tonight if you have your computer. That would be helpful. If you need pens, there are extra pens here if you need to take notes and the pen runs out. There are those. If you need a cable cord because you want to plug in your computer, we have a whole bunch of those back over here. So if you need to plug in, that'll be great. You can use those. Also, in your notebook, there's a Chick-fil-A order. So if you flip in there, if you could leave that with us here tonight, Abby will take care of that for us. And Abby, while you are still there, everybody turn over that way. That's Abby. Abby made all this happen. So Abby, thank you. One thing, just a technical thing, I'm a little bit deaf in my right ear, so I do wear hearing aids. If you say something and I don't acknowledge you, it's not because I don't like you. It's probably because I didn't hear you, and so feel free to put your hand up or say it again, say it louder. I come from a big family. We play rough, so you can yell stuff at me. It's okay. I don't really mind that. Let's see. I'd encourage you, we are going to look at the Bible a lot, so we're going to be pretty regularly dipping into Scripture, so please make sure you've got your Bibles handy. And also, as we go through this, the way that I like to do workshops and sessions like this, and for this particular workshop, I'm going to be doing the main sessions, I like it to be interactive. So there'll be times when I'll do some teaching and explain some things, but if at any point along the way you've like, I'm not sure I understand that, or why'd you just say that, or does that connect with something else? Just feel free to raise your hand and, you know, let me know. We can pause and talk about those things. I really want to make sure that for all of you men that have come here, because you all have different perspectives on what it might look like in your life to be in ministry, that we try to, as best we can, address the real questions that you guys have about ministry and about especially the character part of this. And so I want to make sure that we don't rush through things, or we don't just make this a didactic experience where I'm just telling you things. No, we really want to engage with the things that matter to you. And so I think we've laid out pretty good topics that we can talk about, but I really want to encourage you. Let's talk about these things together, because most likely, if you've got a question about something, there's probably at least one or two other guys that have that same question too. And we'll pause and we'll talk about those things. So before we get started, any questions administratively? Everybody know where the bathroom is? Out the door, to the right, down there. Anything else? Michael, any other administrative things you can think of? Great, okay. All right, well, if you look in your outline there, we are going to look at session one here tonight. We're actually going to look at sessions 1, 2, and 3. So if you want to go to tab 1, which is our welcome and introduction. I want us to go back to 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, and I need somebody to read that for us nice and loud. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2.
What you have heard from me in the presence of witnesses, trust.
The reason why I'm belaboring that particular section of Scripture is that it has become increasingly important to me as I've gotten older and older in ministry. As I said, I've been doing this almost 26 years, and when I look at Paul's life and how he invested in Timothy and what he was charging Timothy with, it's very inspiring to me, because Paul not only had a perspective of doing his own ministry well, but more importantly, he wanted to see that the gospel would continue generation after generation. And so there's an importance to this text. It's an important thing for all of us as we think about being in the church. And in a room of this size, we've got guys in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s even. And so we've got all these different men, and we're all in different phases, and yet these scriptures apply to all of us. Who are the people that we're handing off the gospel to? Who are those faithful men that are going to hold on to that gospel, live it out in their own lives, and be able to teach others also? And so it's an important text. And for me, just so you guys get to know a little bit about my background, I was saved, the Lord saved me in 1989. I was 25 years old, and I had one of those more radical conversions. I was a fornicator. I was very immoral that way. I got drunk all the time. I wanted to be rich, so I pursued being, you know, very wealthy. But the Lord invaded my life. He arrested me, and my life was changed. And I'm amazed by God's grace and goodness to me. And after all these years, I'm still a little bit surprised, like, why me? Why did you set your affections on me? I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. And so not only have I had the joy and the blessing of being welcomed into God's family, but then I've also had the distinct privilege of serving as a leader in a church and trying to help other people to follow Jesus. Jesus became the central point of my life, and by God's grace, that hasn't changed after all these years. And I've come to know him through his word, where he reveals himself to me, and he teaches me, and he instructs me, and he reproves me, and he corrects me. His word discerns the thoughts and intentions of my heart, and it helps me to know just how great and how glorious he is. And his spirit, the transforming presence and work of his Holy Spirit, is very real. I'm so grateful that God keeps his promise to never leave me nor forsake me, because he is present with me by his spirit. And he causes me to cry out, Abba, Father, when I'm in need. And he reminds me of my right relationship with God through Christ. And so I'm a blessed man. And the most important thing about me is who I am in Christ. I stand up here tonight, I don't really have anything to offer you other than what I've received from him. And I don't say that sort of as a, oh, check that box off, just be humble. I mean, I really believe that. Like, I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to hear what Christ is talking to you. I want you to listen to him and listen to his spirit, so that at the end of the day, you're able to walk by faith in what God tells you to do. Because that's the journey that each of us is on. It's a journey of faith, isn't it? And so we're not primarily about instructing one another so that we can do what each other wants other people to do. No, we do things for the glory of God. And we want to root everything that we do in God's word. And so 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 really becomes a critical verse, doesn't it? It's critical for the advancement of the gospel. D.A. Carson is famous for saying this phrase in one form or another, that, you know, the Christian church is always just one generation away from extinction. And you think about that and you say, if you don't really pass on the gospel, what's going to happen? Who's going to know the good news? And there are millions and millions of people who do not know anything about Jesus already. But imagine if nobody decided to pass it on anymore. If we just decided, hey, you know what? We're done. It'd be tragic, wouldn't it? So we desire to pass on the gospel to men who will faithfully serve the Lord by knowing, teaching, leading, and protecting the flock of God entrusted to their care. And so I can't tell you personally how much this excites me to be here with you guys. I love the fact that you're taking time to be here. I love the fact that this matters to you. Your participation here tells me a lot about who you are and how you think about the church of Jesus Christ and how it matters in the advancement of the gospel. It also excites me because I know when we gather together like this, that the Holy Spirit is here with us. He's at work in our hearts, and he's going to do something special in us during this time. I don't know exactly how he's going to meet each and every one of you, but I trust that if we are here and we humbly depend on God and we rely on him and we engage him in his word will speak to us. It won't go out and return void. No, it will be profitable for us. It'll be useful for us. We'll leave here a little bit different, maybe even significantly different in terms of maybe the Lord will show you something really specific for your life, or an area of change that he really wants to get a hold of in you, or a direction or a calling that you've been wondering about. Friends, let's be praying for one another over these next few days. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would actively be at work in our hearts, in our minds, helping us to be humble before him and listening to him. I've seen a significant trend over many years, and that is that leadership culture, sometimes in the church, and not all the time, but sometimes, it can focus more on how smart you are and what you know and how talented you are as a preacher. And it is important to know and have sound doctrine. It's important to have skills and to be able to preach God's word. But sadly, I think there has been a lack of emphasis on what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. Before being a leader, are you a follower? Are you somebody who's being transformed by the grace of God on a regular basis? Are you somebody who repents regularly and receives the grace of God to help you grow and to change, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ? That doesn't get talked about as much. If you go to seminary, and I've been at two different seminaries now, and both wonderful seminaries, but I don't recall hardly anyone ever really talking about the ins and outs and the day in and day out part about the character that's required to be in ministry. You can take great courses on homiletics. You can learn all kinds of things about Old Testament history, and you can just fill your mind with all kinds of knowledge. But at the end of the day, who we are in Christ is the most important thing about us, whether we're in ministry or not. At the end of the day, as we stand before the Lord, he's not just going to look and say, "Whoa, oh, wow, you really ascended high. You were a great, you know, this or that." No, when God looks upon us and sees us through his son, Jesus, he's going to just revel in the fact of how much closer we are to the image of Christ because we've put our hand to the plow, we've worked on the things that he wants us to work on, and we've received the correction and input that he has for us so that we can change, so that we can become more like Christ. I was taken aback a few years ago. There's a pretty well-known book in Christian circles called Dangerous Calling. Have any of you guys ever heard of it? It's a book by a guy named Paul Tripp, and it's a book about the specific temptations and trials in ministry. And I've read the book, and it's a very, very good book. But several years after it was published, I looked on the back jacket, and three of the five guys who endorsed the book are no longer in ministry because they disqualified themselves. That was really humbling. I was like, that could be me. You know, these guys were in ministry for a long time. They had pretty, quote-unquote, successful ministries, and yet three of the five guys on the back jacket, not in ministry anymore. Why? Typically, it's not because they don't know enough, or it's not because they're not gifted enough. Now, when you think about the high profile or even just the lower profile situations that you might know of about local churches in your area, but even nationally, what usually has happened is somebody has disqualified themselves out of ministry. Why? It's character. Lacking in Christ-like character. They've disqualified themselves. They're not able to, in an authentic way, proclaim the gospel because they're not living it out. So they disqualify themselves from ministry. And so when I went to Southeastern to pursue a degree, a doctoral degree, I really wanted to focus on this particular area. And so this workshop has been put together as sort of the completion of this study that I've done over the last 2.5 years. And it coincides pretty well with what we're trying to do in our church, which is start to create a pipeline of leaders in our church, elders and missionaries and church planters and people who can just be raised up in the church in a variety of different capacities. We really want to promote this. And so this elder training workshop really is my main project, and that's why I'm going to end up doing most of these lessons. But I can assure you, the other guys on staff and the other elders that we have here, they would be equally qualified to teach these things. These are men that I deeply respect, and I encourage you to get to know them while you have the time being here. So even though I'm doing the lessons, this is a team effort because I'll be quite honest with you. I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't have good friends who hold me accountable, who address things in my life when I'm not doing well. Two of them, Mark and Kenneth, are right here. They've been faithful friends to me over the years. When my pride has gotten out and I've, you know, said things that I shouldn't have said, I've overspoken, or I've treated somebody unkindly. You know, these have been faithful brothers to come to me and say, "Hey, that's not how this goes. You know, what's going on?" And they've done it lovingly and kindly. But I stand here today not as a solo person. I stand here today because I have the blessing to be part of a team. You know, years ago I was in Joe Deck's community group. That was probably, 26 years ago, right? And I've known Paul equally amounts of time. And I have the privilege now with Tom, you know, serving on the eldership. You know, this is just such a blessing. Edward's over here. I've gotten to know him over the last 3 years. And just the way that he speaks into my life. Guys, as men, we need people speaking into our lives. Nobody gets to the finish line all by themselves. And we'll talk more about that on Saturday morning about accountability and getting input. But I just want to say from the outset, if we're going to make it and faithfully finish well, we need to do this together. And again, this is why I'm glad that we're all here in a context like this. As I said, I am not perfect. I still sin. I can be lustful. I'm certainly proud. That's my besetting sin. I have a high opinion of myself, and I have to fight that. I have to battle that. You've got your own set of sins that you're working on too. And so I come here tonight saying that, look, nobody's going to have arrived at this. And even when we look at the character qualifications, it's not like anybody's looking for sinless perfection. But you know when you've been around somebody who is earnestly seeking after God, who's really taking the input that God has given to them, and they're changing, and it's evident to all. That's the kind of men we want to be. That's what we're aspiring towards. Men who are diligently and faithfully following after Jesus Christ. And having that then show up in our lives. So I want us to spur one another on to serve the Lord. And so tonight we're going to look at a couple different things. We're going to have sort of an overview of leadership. We're going to take a break. And then I want to talk specifically about Christ-like character and ministry. And then we'll end our time tonight just talking about our identity in Christ. And we will try to end at 9:15 because we're going to start up early tomorrow. So I don't want to keep guys out too late. So we'll go through this material. But before I move on, any questions about sort of why we're doing this course or what the expectations are for this? Well, the other thing about me, so I invite you to ask me questions. I also feel the freedom to ask you questions, and I will call on you. So Rob's smiling over there. So Rob, any questions over there? Tom, anything you got? All right, well, that's right. We'll get to that later. We'll talk about that at the break. But seriously, any other questions? Anything you guys got? All right, so let me ask you, what makes for a good elder and a faithful pastor? When you think about that, you're here at an elder training workshop. Ooh, you know, isn't that great? What makes for a good elder? And that's not just a rhetorical question. Give me some thoughts. What makes for a good elder? Think about the pastors that you've had in your life. What stands out to you about them? Teachable, okay. What else? Perseverance, okay. Servant leadership, humble, what, caring. Yeah, it's nice when pastors care, isn't it? I mean, I say that, but like, not all guys are that good at it. Like, listen, here's the deal. Pastors come in every shape and size, every type of gifting. There's no pastor that has the full complement of all the gifts. They're all stronger in some areas and weaker in others. And some things that you need at some time might be really helpful from one of the pastors, and you might be in a context later on where somebody else might be much more helpful in your life at that time. Guys, it's a humbling process to be in leadership because people are going to come to you with a variety of different things that they need help with, and you may or may not be the right guy to help them. So being humble enough to know when you're at your limit as to how you can help somebody and humbly saying, let me get the right person to help you. Deferring to somebody else. Seeing the giftings in somebody else's as being better than yours. Guys, this is what makes for effective pastoring. Any other things? What makes for a faithful pastor? Good pastor. Good elder. Thick skin and soft heart. Thick skin for sure. Sometimes people are not very nice. Sometimes people say really unkind things to you or about you behind your back. It's really hard to take. And if you ride the roller coaster of public opinion about you, you won't be a very effective pastor. And so you've got to be able to find a way to trust God to overlook those things and be faithful. But you do have to have a soft heart. Just think about how Jesus treated us. He had thick skin, but he had a soft heart too. Weren't we the ones that rejected him, right? Crucified him? And yet he came anyway and hung on a cross for us, for our sins. It's humbling because he's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Any shepherding that we do under shepherds. There's him, and then there's us. Now, we aspire to be like him, but that's the goal. It's him. And so we want to take those qualities. We want to take those things that we see in Christ and say, Lord, help me to be the kind of shepherd that you've been to me and to others. So the components of leadership in your notebook there, I've got three overlapping circles. And I came across these overlapping circles actually in the first class that I took down at Southeastern Seminary 2.5 years ago. It was just sort of an introduction to Christian leadership class. And I have read a lot of books over the years on different things and heard lots of different people say, you know, how do you think about, you know, what it takes to be a pastor? And this isn't the only one that's out there. There are plenty of them out there. But I found this overlapping three circles to be really helpful. It was kind of simple. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. And I'm very visual. So I like something that's just simple, and I get this. And I want to pass it on to you guys because these three overlapping circles are Christ-like character. So basically that means who you're becoming in Christ. Okay? Who are you, right, as a follower of Christ? That's one circle. Second circle is sound doctrine. That's what you know or what you believe. And then the third one is ministry skills, what you can do or how you are gifted by God. Like I say, there are other ways to describe how the pieces fit together, but I have found this one really helpful. And I want to talk a little bit about Christ-like character. As I said, this is who you are becoming in Christ. And this workshop emphasizes Christ-like character. And why do you think I didn't just say character? Why didn't I just title this course, this workshop, Character Matters in Ministry? Exactly. Character is a pretty broad word nowadays, isn't it? You can go to a lot of different churches, and if you talk about what kind of character things they value, that list that we just talked about being good pastors or good elders, it could look very different in other places. But Christ-like character is what we're after. Why? Because Romans 8:29 tells us we're being conformed to the image of Christ. And what we're becoming is Christ-like. And so the character that we're going to need and is required to be in pastoral ministry, to be an elder, to shepherd other people, it can't just be anybody's character. No, it's got to be the character of the good shepherd. It's got to be Christ-like character. That's what we're after. That's what we're aspiring towards. We want Christ-like character. Character that reflects the character of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, as shepherds or under-shepherds, what do we have to offer people on our own? You know, our great intellect, our wisdom and our good ideas. I mean, we have some gifting. And I don't want to overly downplay how God is at work in our lives. God chooses to use us, and that's great, and I love that. But it's not something that emanates from ourselves that has value. What has value to other people as we shepherd and care for them is that we are giving them what we have received from him. And so embodying who Christ is in our lives, embracing our union with Christ, this is the special sauce of what it means to be in ministry. This is what it really matters. Because if you get this wrong, if you shepherd in your own strength, if you shepherd because of some false sense of identity, you're going to lead people astray. You're not going to lead them back to the great shepherd. You're going to lead them on some other crazy path. And that's not what God has called us to do. And so we are to be characterized by Christ-like character. Character such as love, compassion, forgiveness, humility, selflessness. Friends, this is Christ being formed in you. And so we want to prioritize character development. That's why this is the first workshop that we're putting on. Let's start with the most important one. Let's start with character. Sound doctrine, as I said, is what you know and believe. These are your biblical convictions and what you know about God through his word. And I do want to pause here and say, being a pastor is a word-based ministry. The authority that we operate under is under the authority of God's word. Now, we're empowered by the Spirit, but the things that we teach people, the things that we share with people, the wisdom that we derive, all the things that matter in terms of how we lead, shepherd, guide, protect, feed, these are all things that come from God's word. Back in our text, what does it say? It says, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay, so it's a word-based ministry that we're given. And what we believe really matters, doesn't it? We've all been around long enough to know churches in our area that at one point used to preach a very sound doctrine about the gospel and about Christ and about humanity. But our world is changing right before our eyes. Well, how does that happen? Well, it's just starting to downgrade one thing in the Bible after the other. Mark and I were having this conversation the other day. It's like the minute that you take away the authority of God's word, you will be on a slippery slope and you will end up with all kinds of chaos because there's nothing to hold everything together. Friends, the only thing that holds us all together is the truth that we derive from God's word. God speaks his truth to us, and his truth reveals his redemptive plans. His truth reveals the glory of his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, and so it's a word ministry. And so what we believe and what we know about God's word is really important. And then third, the ministry skills. Everyone is wired differently, as I mentioned earlier. All elders are different. Some are more geared towards a private word ministry, very gifted in counseling and caring for people that way. Some have a more public ministry and are gifted in public speaking or preaching on Sundays. Guys have different giftings. But it's rooted in the same word. But there is an identification of the fact that the Holy Spirit apportions gifts to the church as he determines. And not everybody gets the same gifts. But friends, that's the beauty of the church, is that as we have elders, plural, in churches, no, we then learn to work together to fan into flame the different gifts that each guy has so that the body can be built up together in Christ. But that'll never happen if the elders don't appreciate each other's gifts. If the elders don't defer to other guys who are more gifted than they are in certain areas. No, it will stunt the growth of the church. No, and so not only is Christ-like character important for us as individuals and as shepherds, but it also plays out big time as you work in an eldership, as you serve side by side with other men who are different than you. Same Jesus, same salvation. You might have very different ministries, different emphasis, because you've got different experiences, different giftings. This all comes from the Lord, and it's good. It's not to be something resisted. It's to be something embraced, because God is good, and he loves his church. So all three areas are essential, but we're starting with who you are in Christ as the foundation for this training. And I want to encourage you in the area of godly ambition. Sometimes, guys in the church, because we do talk about humility, sometimes it creates kind of this false sense of, well, I better not put myself forward or tell anybody that I'm interested in this. And so guys will go years and years and not really say anything to anybody, maybe to their spouse or to a good friend, and they might get coaxed a little bit. Hey, you should go, you know, consider that. No, 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 and I want to put myself forward and all that. And to some degree, I get that. You don't want to be obnoxious about it. Yet at the same time, I really want to counterbalance that with, listen, if the Lord has called you to pursue eldership, Scripture says that's a noble thing. Because the office of elder is a noble office. So aspiring to serve the Lord and to serve his people by serving in that role, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you have to have an open hand to it because you might not be qualified, you might not be gifted, there might be lots of things going on there, and that's okay, but we can work that out in the context of community. But don't automatically disqualify yourself because you just think it might not be humble for you to put yourself forward to say, hey, I'm interested. When we get to the qualifications for ministry, and we look at 1 Timothy 3:1, it says this. It says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? Like, it's a noble task. And so we can desire this and aspire towards it. So the third point in your outline, Christ-like character formation. As I mentioned earlier, we're being conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. We're being conformed to the image of God's Son. Now, at this workshop, I just want to let you guys know for expectations, we're not going to have like a breakout session on how to read your Bible or prayer times or fasting or any of the spiritual disciplines. That would be for another time. But I do want to say those means of grace, though, are the things that help you cultivate Christ-like character. So even though we're not going to talk a lot about it, I do want to say that from the outset. You see, the leaders that Jesus chose to serve as the foundation for his earthly ministry were ordinary guys like you and me. But something wonderful happened in their lives. Christ invaded them. And Christ called them. And they obeyed that call. And they walked with Jesus. And they got corrected by Jesus. And they witnessed his miracles. And they were enthralled by what he was doing. And they were captivated. And guys, this is what we can be captivated by as well. And it comes through the transforming grace of God. God's Spirit is living and it's active. And it's working inside our hearts. And the task of pastoral ministry in the church requires not simply that a man is a theologian or a leader, but that he faithfully embodies a type of godliness that he professes. Just think about that. We have to embrace what we profess. We got to live it out. There's a quote in the books that I gave out, the character book. It says, fruitfulness in Christian ministry begins with fruitfulness in the minister. That's just a good place to start. So before I move on to the elder qualifications, anything about Christ-like character formation, or have I said anything that causes you to or prompts you to have a question? The final one, the Menikoff quote, it says, fruitfulness in Christian ministry begins with fruitfulness in the minister. Any other questions? All right, well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. What time on your schedule did I say I was going to be done with this first session? Okay. All right, so we got about 15 minutes. All right. Somebody want to read 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7? Thought, hey, we're doing Christ-like character. Why don't we just go straight to the source? Let's find out what the Bible says about qualifications for ministry. Tom, you got it? Okay, so a little audience participation. What stands out to you in these verses? What's notable to you? Nice. What have we got? Above reproach. What does that mean? Okay. Yeah, okay. What else? What else stands out to you? Ronnie? Yeah, a lot of fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? That it's not just your own self-assessment. Hey, I think I'm qualified. Or, hey, my buddies in the church think I'm qualified. It's, would people even outside of your church think you should be qualified? Okay, that's kind of interesting. All right, we'll get, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow after lunch, you're going to have a little exercise. We're going to give you, 30 or 40 minutes. And I'm going to have you take these qualifications from 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, And I just want you to go and have some time for personal reflection. Just reading through the verses, letting them soak into your heart, just marinating in them, and just thinking about, Lord, show me. Where do you want me to grow? Where do you want to encourage me? Where am I doing well? Where have I grown? And then we're going to have a group discussion about these, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here tonight. But what else stands out to you about these? Yeah. So when you think about eldering, it's like one area where you actually have some competency, and maybe manage your household. So maybe a little teaching, a little managing, but it's all about character. And is this like super special character? Or isn't this character that pretty much every Christian should have? Again, it's D.A. Carson, I think, that says, what's remarkable about this list is how unremarkable it is. This is just garden variety, like, be a Christian. Okay? And maybe the above reproach is be a really good Christian, right? But it probably just means you've been a Christian for a while and you've faithfully been growing as a follower of Christ and you're showing and demonstrating more and more the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But I want to encourage you guys, when you look at this list, you're like, I should be aspiring to this whether I want to be an elder or not. This is just garden variety, like, hey, let's be a Christian. Just go look at that. You know, a lot of times, like with the qualifications for a deacon, you know, guys will come and say, you know, hey, do you think I'm ready to be married or whatever? I'll just say, just go read the qualifications for a deacon. Can you serve in the church? Have you been tested? Are you the real deal? Like, then you're probably good to go. You know, that kind of thing. Scripture is so helpful for us. But then all of a sudden you think, oh, the qualifications for an elder must be, you know, so high. It's actually not. Don't be a drunkard. Okay. Wow. Like earth-shattering, okay? And so I love the fact that these are the everyman qualifications. Why? Because Jesus came to call people like you and me from every tongue and tribe, from every nation, from every economic background, across the globe, rich, poor, young, and old. He's talking to Timothy, who's a little bit younger. He himself was older. I mean, the variety is there. And so he gives these qualifications, but they're qualifications that you and I can embrace. Because these are the things, as I said, that we should be aspiring to as followers of Jesus. Like I say, tomorrow we'll talk more about just personal reflection and have some time to do that, and then we'll have a group discussion. One other little sidebar here. In Scripture, when the term overseer is used, it's used in a synonymous way with elder and pastor, overseer. So I'm not going to parse those words each time we go through it. So in this particular passage, he talks about overseer. When we get to 1 Peter 5, it's going to use some different phrases. But it's talking about one office. It's talking about the people that are responsible to care for the flock of God entrusted to them. Those who will oversee the church and make sure that it's led and things are done decently and in order. And there's this aspect of this shepherdly care that they're going to provide to this flock. As Joe mentioned, the one gift mentioned here is being able to teach. But when the Bible speaks of calling to ministry, it speaks of character. And I want to just draw your attention to a few other verses. So I need some volunteers here. I'm going to read off 5 different verses. So I need 5 people to flip in their Bibles because I want us to hear the words that are said here. So Galatians 5:13. Dave, you got that? Ephesians 4:1. Rob, you got it? 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Okay, John, you got it? 1 Peter 2:21. Matt? And then 1 Peter 3:9. Paul, you got it? All right, just read out loud so all the guys can hear you. Galatians 5:13, what's it say? Okay, Ephesians 4:1. Okay, worthy callings, right? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. First Peter 2:21. First Peter 3:9. So this whole idea of being called by the Lord into ministry and into serving, it's related to character. So I don't want us just to get hung up and say, oh, well, there's just the, you know, the character qualifications there. No, it's when you start dipping through the Bible, like it's all over the place. There's an expectation that we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And then as we grow and mature in that, the Lord will apportion gifts to the church and set those men in place. It's the Holy Spirit in Acts 20:28 that makes you an overseer, giving you the ability to care for the flock of God entrusted to you and to the other elders. So the obvious implication is that who you are is what qualifies you to do the things that you're called to do for the Lord. It starts with who you are in Christ. And said another way, serving the Lord starts with cultivating Christ-like character before we move on to the assessment of gifts and abilities. And not only that, but we not only start there with character, the character has to remain throughout. And I'm sure some of you guys know guys that at one point when they got into ministry, they were very zealous about their character and all that. But maybe over time, they started to coast. And maybe they started to look at some porn, or maybe they started to flirt with somebody in the office, or maybe they started to dabble in gambling and other different types of things. And all of a sudden, 5, 10, 15 years later, they've fallen out of ministry. Why? Because they didn't hold on to Christ. They didn't continue to grow. They didn't continue to keep in step with the Spirit. And so we're not just saying, hey, just get qualified and then let's work on those other things. No, this is the foundation and the bedrock for all we will ever do in God's kingdom. It's who we are in Christ. And then finally, and I'll wrap up here, 1 Timothy 5:22 says, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. And so there's an aspect of sometimes guys like, hey, is this going to take forever to become an elder? Or, you know, what's the deal with all that? And every guy's a little bit different. But Scripture clearly says, don't be in a hurry to do this. Why do you think that is? Why does Scripture tell us to not be hasty in the laying on of hands? You got guys that it's good to aspire to it. Okay, it's a noble calling, good thing to do, but hang on a second. Don't be hasty. How come? Well, and it's interesting that fruit is used as a metaphor in the Bible, because if you wanted to grow an apple tree out in the grass out there, what would you do? Till up the soil, plant some seeds, hope it grows, water it, wait for a couple years for it to kind of grow and mature and eventually hopefully ripen and have some fruit. The Bible uses tree and fruit metaphors pretty regularly, and I think it's a good indicator of what our expectations should be. The fruit should be visible. It should be good fruit as opposed to bad fruit, right? But fruit takes time to form. And so you might not be at this church for a long time, but maybe you've been walking with the Lord a long time, and so maybe proving that fruit in your life won't take that long. Or you might be a younger guy, and it's like, hey, you know, let's walk with you. Every guy's going to be in a different path. And so I'd encourage you not to compare yourself to other guys. Don't make the sense of calling to ministry or exploring the calling to ministry a comparison project. Because the minute you do that, ministry is becoming about you and your reputation instead of about being faithful to God and his call. The subtle danger to start looking at guys who are our same age, or maybe we're in the same campus ministry together and one's moving faster ahead than others, that's a dangerous game. Because you're not that guy. You're not tempted the same way. You're not wired the same way. You haven't gone through the same life experiences. You go through the Bible and look at how many guys went through pretty circuitous routes to get into ministry. A guy named Robert Clinton wrote a book called The Making of a Leader, and this so impacted me when he went through different biblical characters and talked about the different pathways that they had to ministry. Think about Moses for a second. So Moses is, you know, clearly, you know, starting to realize, hey, I've got a role here with my people. And when was the next time he actually ends up in ministry? 40 years later. Now, I hope it won't take that long for us, but it might. Moses, pretty fruitful guy, used by God in the kingdom. Yeah, so let's not get hung up on how fast something takes or how long something takes. Let's focus on quality. Let's be the men of God that he wants us to be, and let's entrust to him that he will be at work confirming those whom he's called to serve in different ministries. Because the encouragement is everybody is actually called to ministry. We're all called to go and make disciples of all nations. Serving in the church is a particular way to serve in the kingdom, but it's by no means the only way. And what I do serving in the church is no more spiritual than what Andrew does serving in his job. Right? He's out there honoring Christ in the way that he goes about his work, and he works diligently, and he works hard, and he displays Christ-like character in what he does. So we have different roles, but it's not like what we do on staff is more spiritual, or if you're a non-staff elder, so, oh, if you're an on-staff guy, that means you've attained this, and if you're a non-staff guy here, but, well, maybe our community group leader is here. No, that's not how God wants us to think about this. What he wants us to think about is building up the body of Christ for the glory of Christ. And each part has a role to play. And no part is to look down on any other part. It's so encouraging. We've all got a role to play. So it should take some of the pressure off as well, thinking, oh, I've got to get there. I've got to do this. And yet at the same time, I don't want you to be apathetic about it and say, oh, it just doesn't matter. You know, we'll just see. If God wants to do it, we'll see it. No. Aspire, but also be tested. Don't be hasty in the laying on of hands. So let me draw this first session to a close. Any questions before we take a 10-minute break? You can come look at my notes. I'm not sure what I said. I got issues. I'm old, and not only am I deaf, but I'm also a little bit on the back nine here, so I might not always remember what I say. All right, good. Any other questions? All right, great. Well, let's, Andy, you got something? On the resources, hey, that's a good thing. I also, in your last tab, I did a whole bibliography of all the different sources I used in the different chapters. But for this particular one, there's a book by Rogers, A Workman Approved, it's a newer book. It's quite good. I've really found that helpful. The book I gave you, Character Matters, is actually really good as well. If you want something that's a little more technical, the Forrest and Roden book on biblical leadership is a little bit more of a deeper dive theologically on this, but those first two books, the Menikoff and the Rogers books, I think would be a good place to start. All right, well, let's come back at 7:30 and we'll get started on the next session.